Greetings and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shurim and Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzhak Shalom. We are now in Masachet Baba Batra Daf Chaf Amud Bet at the beginning of the second Mishnah of the second Perek. Lo yamid adam tanur betoch beto. A person should not or is not allowed to put an oven into his house. Elim kenyesh al gavav gova arba amot, unless there's 4 amot of airspace above it to prevent fire damage. Hayama mido baliyah, let's say he's putting up in a loft. Sarich shei tachtav mazivash tosha tfachim, there has to be flooring underneath, which is 3 tfachim thick. Uva kira tefach, if all he had was a kira, which is a stovetop, then all he needs is a tefach underneath. V'mizik mishalem mashizik, but if damage happens, nonetheless, he's still liable for it. Rabbi Shimon omer lo omer kol ashurin halayilu elashim mizik patur milishalem. Rabbi Shimon disagrees and says, the whole purpose of having the shurim is that if he did damage, then he's exempt from payment. Now, at the beginning of the third Mishnah, lo yiftach adam chanut shel nachtumin v'shel tzabein tachat tzavo shel chaviro v'lo refet bakar, is something that we already saw earlier on in the perek, that a person is not allowed to open up a bakery or a dye store or a barn underneath somebody else's storage area, b'emet b'yayin hitiro v'lo refet bakar. The reality is that if the storage thing was not storing grain but rather wine, those other things are permitted except for a barn. We'll see. Why? Batanya betanur arba'a uva kira shlosha. In our Mishnah, we said that underneath, in the second part of the Mishnah, you have to have 3 tfachim, and here we have a braita that says 4 tfachim, and in our Mishnah it said a kira needs 1 tefach underneath, and the braita said 3 tfachim. Abaya kitanya hibin nachtumin. Abaya says that braita is referring to ovens and stovetops of bakers who generate a lot more heat. So our tanur is like their kira, and therefore our tanur demands 3 underneath. Okay, lo yiftach adam chanut, tana im hayta refet kodem al haotzar mutar. We have this, we again saw this in the opening sugya of our perek, that if the barn was there before the guy put the storage thing up on top, then it's mutar. That was in the context of the machlok rabbi and rava. So Abaya then asked the following question, a series of questions of what defines the beginning of an otsar, such that if the fellow underneath opens up a refet, the guy on top could say, I already opened up my otsar, and you can't put it there. So, kibed v'ribetz l'otsar, what if the guy swept out his loft in order to make it an otsar? Is that a beginning? Ribab chalonot mahu, what if he's put in more windows, demonstrating that he's going to use it as an otsar? Achsad v'tachar otsar, let's say that the underneath area is a portico, before the otsar is built. Does that mean that he can now make it a refet? Bana ali al gabei beto mahu, what if a fellow built a house and he built a second story up there? Is that already the beginning of an otsar? Teiku, the answer, no, we have no answer to none of these. Bari Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, so Rav Papa's Chaver Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua asked the question, Tamir Vimoni Mai, what if the guy started putting in dates and pomegranates in the upstairs? Does that constitute an otsar already? And again, teiku. Alright, the end of the first half of Mishnah Gimel, the part that we already read. Be'emet b'yayin hitiru, satana b'yayin hitiru me'eshe mashpicho. The reason that you're allowed to put in, let's say, a bakery underneath is because it actually helps the wine. V'lo refet bakar me'eshe mashpicho, but you can't put a barn because that makes the wine bad. Rav Yosef, hai didan, but our wine in Bavel is different. Afilu kutra d'shragana mikashale, even the smoke from a candle hurts our wine, so certainly you can't put anything underneath. If you have straw, that's really like refet bakar, meaning underneath to put straw on, etc., is really like a barn. It creates noxious fumes that hurt stuff on top. Okay, the rest of Mishnah Gimel. Chanut shebachatzer, yachol limchot biyado v'lomar lo. Let's say a fellow opens up a store in the chatzer that's shared with other residents of the chatzer. Other residents can protest and say, "Ini yachol lishon mikol hanichasim mikol hayotzin. I can't sleep because there's too many people coming in. All the foot traffic you have coming to your store." Aval sekulim, but the fellow does have the right to, in his own chatzer, in the shared chatzer, to make vessels. Yotzeu machar b'toch hashuk, and then take them out and sell them. V'enechol mechot biyadov lomarlo. The other fellow can't say to him, "You can't do that." Ini yachol lishon lo mikol hapatish v'lo mikol hayachaim v'lo mikol hatinokot. If other fellow can't say, I can't sleep because of your hammering or your milling or because of the children. Now, that's the strange phrase here that's going to open up a very, very interesting sugya. Okay, maishta reisha, maishta seifa. So how come in the reisha of this section we said that the residents can protest and say we can't stand the noise, and in the seifa they couldn't say that? So my baya seifa atam lachatzer acher. The seifa is talking about if he has it in another chatzer. Then Rava says, then the Mishnah should just say, Chatzer, if it's another Chatzer, it's mutar, it's the joint Chatzer, it's asur. Allah Amar Rava, Seifa Tamla Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, the end of the Mishnah is there to include Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, meaning that if somebody is teaching what we might call a cheder, meaning an elementary school, we're teaching kids Torah, then the neighbors cannot protest and say we can't stand the sound. And this all begins with the famous ordinance of Yehoshua ben Gamla, that once that there was an ordinance to have universal education at least offered, then no one can protest and say, I don't want that in my chatzer. What's the story? This man should be remembered for good. Yehoshua ben Gamla Shema, that's his name. If it were not for him, Torah would have been forgotten. Somebody who had a father who could teach him would teach him. If he didn't have a father, or if he had a father who didn't know how to learn, then he wouldn't be taught. In other words, teaching was a family affair. My drush, what was the drasha? V'limadetem otam, and the darshan v'limadetem atem. You teach your own kids. Hitkinu, so the leaders saw that there was now this danger of children without fathers, or without fathers who could teach, becoming ignorant. Hitkinu shiumo shivin malamdei tinokot b'Yerushalayim. So they made a decree that there should be school teachers in Yerushalayim. My drush, k'mitzion tetzei Torah, dvar Adonai Yerushalayim. The people should come to Yerushalayim to learn Torah. V'adayin mishesh lo av hayam aleihu malamdo. But that didn't solve anything, because somebody who has a father would bring him to Yerushalayim and they would learn there. Mishein lo av lo hayam alev lo meid. He wouldn't have anybody to bring him up. He'd stay on the farm and work. Hitkin rishumo shuvin b'chol plach uplach. So they made a takana that in every district, every major area, there should be malamdei tinokot. U'machisir otan k'ven tetzayin k'ven yudzayin. They'd bring them in as teenagers, 16, 17 years old. Misha Rabo Kwaisala, but if the teacher got angry with him, disciplined him, Mavit Poviatsai, he was already 16, 17, he would rebel against the teacher and walk out. Ah, Shabai Shuman Gamla Vitikan. So Shuman Gamla came along and made the takana. Shihumo Shivin Lam Daitina Kod Bahom Dinam Dinam Khol Yervair, to have school teachers in every district and every city. Umachisir Tan Kiven Shesh Kiven Shaba, and they start schooling not at 16 or 17, but rather at 6 or 7. Right, that's the takana. We'll see a lot more details. I'm really Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat. So Rav instructed his student, Ad Sheet Lo Takabel, don't accept students before the age of 6. Mikan Ve'elach Kabil, at that point accept them, Va'asfile Ketorah, and stuff them full, like jamming food in the mouth, like an ox. In other words, just jam lots and lots and lots of text. V'yamale Rav Shmuel Bar Shilat, here's another piece of advice, Ki Machit Linuka, if you're going to punish a child, lo timche elav arkatad masana, just use a strap, like a shoe strap. Right? The ka'ari ka'ari, if it works fine, the lokari the ha'itzav to the chavre. And if it doesn't work, then at least he will be a partner for his friend. In other words, you don't have to throw him out of class. Let him sit with others, and at least he'll join them, and ultimately he'll come around. So you don't need to worry that you have to punish him until he's paying attention. It won't necessarily work. Meitavei, we have a challenge to Rava's claim that Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban can be put into a chatzer even against the protests of the other residents. Echad mnei chatzer shebikesh lasot rofe. Uman v'gardi umlamdei tinokot. If one of the members of the chatzer wants to turn his house and he wants to become a doctor or a bloodletter or a painter or a malamdei tinokot, teacher, then Bnei Chatzer Makvin Alav, the other residents can stop him because it's going to create a lot of foot traffic. So you see that you do not have the right to open up a little school in your Chatzer. No, this is talking about just a regular school for non-Jewish kids, or it could be a trade school. Toshma, Shnaim Shishvim Chatzer. So we have another Braita. It says two people live in a Chatzer. One of them wanted to do those things. The other fellow can stop him. Say, I don't want that in my property. Same answer, this is talking about a non-Jewish school, in other words, it's not the Tinokot Shel Beit Rabban, it's not Takanat Yehoshua ben Gamla. Toshma, Mishesh Tobait Bachatzer HaShutfin, if a person has a house in a joint courtyard, Harezeh Lo Yaskirenu, he's not allowed to rent it out, Lo L'Rofei, V'lo L'Oman, V'lo L'Gardi, etc., V'lo L'Sofer Yehudi, V'lo L'Sofer Armoi. In other words, he can't rent it out either to a Jewish scribe or to a Roman scribe, that's what Armoi here evidently means. So you see that we can't answer this one is Totino Kota Aku. What it means is the town clerk. In other words, somebody who's going to have a lot of people coming to him in order to write documents, etc. That's the kind of traffic, like a doctor. But this is not referring to a teacher. That, there's a special dispensation because we really want to promote education, that it overrides the considerations of the residents of the chatzer. Once that takana was made, we don't schlep a kid from one city to another. Once the kid's in a school, we keep him there. We can move him from one Beit Knesset to another within the town. In other words, these kids are young, they're fragile, you start walking them around saying, now we're going to go to that town to study, that town to study, pick up some more kids, that may, the road may not be good for them. But to go from shul to shul, from building to building, is not so bad. But if there's a river between the two Bate Knesset, we don't take them. If there's a regular, nice bridge, we do. But if it's just a board across the river, across the canal, we don't. Again, we take care, and we look out for the welfare and safety of these kids. What's the amount of kids that just that constitute a class? 25 kids. Let's say you have 50 kids. Then you make two classes. But let's say there's 40. And it's between 25 and 50. You have a head teacher. Then the town pays for somebody to help out. A teacher's aid. Alright, so this is, by the way, very similar to the numbers that we generally use in our schools. And just a note that I'm sure everybody noticed earlier, this is, the things that are being stated here are so elementary to us and so basic to us, and yet if you think about it from the context of 1st, 2nd century CE, this is a revolutionary move towards universal education. V'yamarava, ha'imakri yunuke the garis. While a very interesting take. He says, somebody who teaches kids who is very knowledgeable. V'ika achrin de garis tfemine. And there's one who is more accomplished. We don't get rid of the less accomplished one, because he's good enough. Because we're concerned that the one who is more accomplished is going to feel like now he's on top and he's going to now stop studying. He won't have that drive. He said, no, the opposite. He's going to study more. Why? Because he's afraid that the other fellow is going to try to get back at him. And that sort of jealousy, even though jealousy is generally a midah that we try to minimize, here it's positive because that jealousy is going to drive them to learn more. So this fellow is going to be afraid of the other fellow who was booted out trying to get back at him, and he'll learn more. V'yama Rava, and we have another machloka between Rav and Rav Dimin Ardea about teachers. Hani Tre Mikri Dardiki, you have two school teachers. Chad Garis Velo Dayik, one of them is more knowledgeable, is more text under his belt, but he's not very careful as a teacher. V'chad Dayik Velo Garis, and the other one is very careful as a teacher, but he's not as knowledgeable. Motvinen Hu Degaris Velo Dayik, you get the one who's more knowledgeable, even though he's not that careful, meaning the kids may read incorrectly, because Shabeshta Bamela Nafka, ultimately the mistakes will kind of weed themselves out. So if a kid learns something wrong, ultimately he'll correct it. Avdimin Hardei Amar, he says, no, the opposite. Avdimin Daik Velo Garis. So we're not concerned so much with somebody who's a master of all the texts, but somebody who's a careful teacher. Why? Shabeshta Kevanda Al. Once a mistake is ingrained, it's hard to get rid of it. Once somebody's learned something a certain way, it's hard to change it. Dichtiv, and we have a famous story about this. That Yoav, David's chief of staff, and this is now a backstory because we're hearing about the king of Edom running away to Mitzrayim, which sets up the whole the rebellion against Shlomo with Yeravam. It begins with the story that Yoav had earlier wiped out all of the males in Edom. Right? Coming to David, when Yoav came back to David, this is now the backstory. Amarle, David said to him, "My time of Darachi, why did you kill all the males in Edom? Amarle, and why did you do this and you left the women alive? Amarle, dichtiv timcha et zachar Amalek." So he read that Amalek is associated with Edom. Of course, Amalek being a child of Esav. And therefore, he went to destroy them. He said, I was taught as a kid that the Pasuk says, Tibchet Zachar Amalek, wipe out all the males of Amalek. Amalek v'hanan zecher karinan, but we read the Pasuk, Zecher Amalek, all the memory of Amalek, which means wipe them all out. Amalek ana zachar karinan, but I was taught as a kid, in cheder, zachar. Azal shay l'rabbe, so Yoav went to his teacher, Amar leheach kakriton, how did you teach us? Amale Zecher. He said, I taught Zecher. So Yoav was upset because he said, obviously I learned it wrong and my teacher didn't correct me. As Shakal Safser the Mikvah, he took his sword out to kill the teacher. Amarle, Amarle, he said, why are you doing this? Amarle Dichtivi, quote the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Arul Osei Melechet Adonai Yirmiyahu, cursed is somebody who does God's work deceitfully, meaning you were a sloppy teacher. I learned incorrectly and you didn't correct me, and as a result of that, I didn't wage the war correctly. Amarle Shavke, the Hugamar Delei Kumbarus, his teacher said to him, leave me alone, let me just be cursed. Well, I've got the curse from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, it should be good enough. So Yoav said, yeah, but the second half of the pasuk is Arur Moneach Habo Midam. Cursed is somebody who keeps blood from his sword, meaning when you got to kill somebody and you don't, that's a curse. If I have to kill you, then because of what happened, then I will have to kill you. So Ikad Amri Katle, Ikad Amri Lo Katle. So there's two versions whether Yoav did kill him or not as a result. We have this earlier on in the first parak. Somebody who is... in the Edom of Mitzvah, somebody who is a school teacher, somebody who is a person who plants trees, a shochet, a bloodletter, or the town clerk, kulan kemutrin v'omdin ninu, they are all forewarned, which means if they make a mistake, they can immediately be relieved of their duties. Why? Klala de milta, what's the rule? Kol pseda de lohadar mutra v'omidu. Any time that a mistake is an irreparable mistake, the person is considered forewarned, and therefore, the first mistake that they make is one that is cause for dismissal. I will pause at this point because even though we are going to end up coming back a little bit to Yishuv and Gamla and to the issue of Tinokot Shavit Rabban, nonetheless, this next piece, Rav Huna, introduces a whole other area of halacha, which is something that we would call Masi Gvul, but really is Paskat Leil Chuyute, which is interfering with another person's livelihood in your own desire to promote your own. And so we'll pause at this point. We'll pick it up in the next podcast in the middle of the Chaf Aleph Amud Bet. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.